वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति
विल्चान चैप्टर 4 वर्सेस 35 टू 39
एवं यास्यसि पांडव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्षस्यात्मन्यतो मयि यज्ञात्वा न पुनर्मोहम् एवं यास्यसि पांडव येन भूतान्यशेषेण द्रक्षस्यात्मन्यतो मयि अपि चेदसि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पापकृत्तमः
सर्वं ज्ञानप्लवेनैव
वृजिनं संतरिष्यसि अपि चेदसि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पापकृत्तमः सर्वं ज्ञानप्लवेनैव वृजिनं संतरिष्यसि यतैधांसि समिद्धोऽग्निः भस्मसात्कुरुतेऽर्जुन ज्ञानाग्निसर्वकर्माणि भस्मसात्कुरुते तथा यतैधांसि समिद्धोऽग्निः भस्मसात्कुरुतेऽर्जुन ज्ञानाग्निसर्वकर्माणि भस्मसात्कुरुते तथा न हि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रमिह विद्यते तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः कालेनात्मनि विन्दते न हि ज्ञानेन सदृशं पवित्रमिह विद्यते तत्स्वयं योगसंसिद्धः कालेनात्मनि विन्दते श्रद्धावान् लभते ज्ञानम् तत्परः संयतेन्द्रियः ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिम् अचिरेणाधिगच्छति श्रद्धावान् लभते ज्ञानम् तत्परः संयतेन्द्रियः ज्ञानं लब्ध्वा परां शान्तिम् अचिरेणाधिगच्छति
One must gain this knowledge from prostrating to a guru, surrendering to a guru, and observe carefully all that he says. Whatever you did not understand, question and try to understand. Above all, as a Shishya, you only know that you do not know, but you do not know whether you are ready to know it. So, therefore, when you go and prostrate to a guru, the guru may not immediately start giving you the knowledge, because he finds you, okay, you are aware of your ignorance, but you may not be ready for knowing the truth yet. So you continue to serve. Guru is not in need of your service, but by serving, you go on purifying your ego. When you go on purifying your ego, the knowledge given by the Guru, when he gives, when he finds you ready, will start bearing fruits. So tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinaha. So Guru, whatever he says, you start practicing, you start living, you start doing whatever you want to do with seva bhava. And thus, when you are initiated into knowledge by the Guru, slowly the knowledge will destroy the delusion he says. The first thing that happens when the knowledge goes in is it destroys the delusion. What is the delusion that we are suffering from? Delusion means seeing something else other than what is there. Something is there, but you don't see it as it is. You project something over and above that and see that. That is what delusion means. So the delusion that we all suffer from is, I must live. Because it comes from the deep-rooted thought that I will die. I am there now, and the more I am conscious that I am there now, I also have the fear that I may be not there one day. Because amness will never cease to be, but I am can change. I am there today in this room. After a few hours, I am not going to be there in this room, in this form. But the isness continues. The amness continues. There is no threat to the amness. There is no threat to the existence. But there is threat to I am. You understand? So, therefore, the I itself is the delusion. And to protect that I, we do all the other things, because I starts swelling. Because I feels there is threat from everything that is not belonging to it. The moment there is some other person, something that doesn't belong to me, it's not part of me or mine, then the threat can come from there. So the I wants to swell and try to occupy as much as possible within the mind. This is the delusion that we go into. So the moment the knowledge comes, the knowledge destroys this delusion that never indeed was I not, nor you, nor these rulers of men, none of us will cease to be hereafter. Out of this ignorance, we solidify. I am ignorant of my true nature, and I am thinking myself to be this individual. Like a wave, being ignorant of its original nature, which is ocean, it assumes a separateness that it is wave. And wave is bound to die, because wave is something that was born. The only way the wave can try to protect itself is by solidifying, by getting frozen, by becoming thicker internally, egoistically. You understand? It never flows. Love is something that flows. Ego is something that is solidified. The moment you become like a frozen personality, you become a frozen personality, then you are not even seeing the consciousness within. You might have been told that there is consciousness within, and you might have accepted that, but you don't see the consciousness within. When you don't see the consciousness within, it is impossible for you to see the consciousness outside. Are you with me? You see the tree. For you, you don't see the life in the tree. Science says there is life in tree. Some of us accept that, but do we really see life in tree? How conscious are we when we are plucking the flowers? You understand? We don't care that they also have consciousness. They also have awareness. So the grosser the individual, the lesser is he going to see the consciousness spread everywhere. Are you with me? So when it comes to the objects, we don't see any expressions. When we cut it into pieces, we don't see it crying. We don't see anything. So we think there is no consciousness there.
So Vedanta says, you, even when you accept that there is consciousness in you, you have not experienced the consciousness within you. So the moment the delusion, the obstacle, the ego is removed, you start experiencing the consciousness within. When you start experiencing the consciousness within, then you start seeing consciousness pervading everywhere. That is what he is saying here. Knowing which you shall not again get deluded, thus O Pandava, O Arjuna, by which you will see all beings in the self, also in me. The moment you remove the delusion, the obstacle is removed, then what you see is oneness. The test of development is seeing that oneness. Equanimity, equality, these are all the test of development. See, world is a mirror. When we go stand there, we see exactly ourselves. So if we are so egoistic, we are so much solidified, we are so much frozen, and we don't see the consciousness within, it is impossible to see the consciousness elsewhere. So when we say that, yes, I accept that everything is having its root in Brahman, everything is this, everything is that, but our actions doesn't show that. If we really believe that everything is nothing but Brahman, then there will be love. But today there is not love, there is only attachment. Those which apparently caters to my ego, I say that I love. Do I truly have love? Love is a flow. The moment you have ego, you are not flowing. You understand? So therefore, the second line is very, very important. It says, by which you will see all beings in the self, also in me. Today, only those people who are talking something good about you, you say, I love them. This is conditional. This is not true love. The moment the delusion, the obstacle is removed, then every being, even an object, you will start seeing consciousness in it. You understand? The grosser you are, you need greater expression. The subtler you are, you will start seeing divinity even in small, small things. See, if you are really, really gross, then you need a miracle to see divinity. You understand? You need to go to the Himalayas or the Grand Canyon or some sort of such expression to become aware of divinity, the splash of divinity. The subtler you are, you will start seeing divinity even in nail growth, hair growth, in a, what do you call that, groundnut, which is beautifully covered with a shell. Right? The packaging industry created by the divinity. You understand? How beautifully it is packaged. A banana which is covered by the peel. So you will go into raptures seeing all this because you are subtle. The problem is, why is it I don't see? I don't see because I have not gone deeper within me. I am still staying at the gross level. The problem is, like I said in one of the classes before, we keep on asking questions. Many of us are thinking that we are intelligent, but we are being so foolish because we are using the question to stop us from continuing to act. And unless you plunge, you are not going to gain the experience. See, you want to get the joy of swimming, but you do not want to get wet. It is not possible. So you go and the coach is saying, jump. You are asking so many questions. The coach is telling you replies. But you continue to ask questions. This is the intelligent way you think you can postpone jumping into the swimming pool. But unless you jump and get wet, you are not going to experience it. You understand? So therefore, the deeper we go, closer and closer to the divinity, we'll start seeing even the objects having consciousness. The moment we see that everything is nothing but expression of consciousness, and then what happens is there comes a stage where objects are out of sight, only consciousness is there. Are you with me? Today we keep on saying they also have consciousness, but our relationship with them doesn't show it in any way. But the moment we start really experiencing consciousness from within, then our relationship with every being will start expressing that experience. That's all he's saying here. So that is why you see great Mahatmas having so much of kindness when they relate to any being. It is not just with human species. Their love spreads forth everywhere, because the ego, which was there as a barrier, is removed. Once the barrier is removed, then it flows. So the test of development is what? Seeing the entire universe in the self and self in the universe. Next verse. Api chedasi papebhyah, api chedasi papebhyah, sarvebhyah papakrittamah, sarvebhyah papakrittamah, sarvam jnanaplave naiva, sarvam jnanaplave naiva, vrijinam santarishyasi, vrijinam santarishyasi, api chedasi papebhyah, sarvebhyah papakrittamah, sarvam jnanaplave naiva vrijinam santarishyasi. Even if you are the most sinful of all sinners, if you consider yourself to be the most sinful of all sinners, you shall verily cross over all sin by the raft of knowledge, by the boat of knowledge. See, we think maybe I have committed so many paps, I am the worst of all sinners. Therefore, we think to redeem ourselves from all these sins, we must start doing so many punya activities. In other words, action in the form of punya cannot redeem us from the action in the form of pap. What can set us free from pap is not punya. What can set us free from pap is knowledge. Are you with me? Firstly, why did you commit pap? The basis of pap and punya is same. What is that? Ignorance. The basis of both pap and punya is ignorance. The root is I am the doer. The doership is there in pap as well as punya, and the doership is stemming from ignorance. You are shrouded in darkness for, let us say, 100 years. And if you are fighting with darkness, would you become free from darkness? If you simply light a lamp, even though the darkness you are shrouded with for 100 years, just lighted a lamp few seconds ago, the moment you lighted the lamp, the darkness which was there as it were for hundreds of years was removed. Isn't it? So it is not how long you have been in a state of unawareness. The moment awareness comes, it's gone. Snow could have been in existence for hundreds of years, but the moment sun ray strikes it, it starts melting. It cannot exist. You could have been in dream for many hours, but the moment you wake up, the entire dream dissolves. Isn't it? That is exactly what he is saying. Api chedasi papebhyah, sarvebhyah papakrittamah. If you think you are the worst of all sinners, you are the sinner of all sinners, champion of all sinners. You have done so much of pap. Vedanta says, please understand, this is your ignorance. You have not done anything. You understand? You have not done anything. You, out of ignorance, assumed an individuality. And out of that kartritva bhava, everything came. The kartritva has to be removed. And the kartritva can only be removed through knowledge. The moment the kartritva is removed, then the path is gone. A huge pile of dry hay can be burnt with just a single matchstick. So all that you require is the fire of knowledge. It is not that you go to so many punya kshetras, so many dana, so many tapas, all that you do, but if you do them as an end in itself, they will not set you free from pap. But doing them kindles awareness in you, that awareness removes the pap. You understand? So, in other words, we who are caught up in morality, we think the moment we go to moralistic living, our path will go. It will not go. Because you are continuing to exist as individual, shrouded with ignorance, trying to get now stuck to the morality. That doesn't mean you be immoral. The moment awareness comes, you cannot be immoral. You understand? Nobody can consciously fall into a pit. It is impossible. You have been immoral because you have been in a state of unawareness, ignorance. Now, if awareness starts striking you, you cannot be immoral. Impossible. Even if you try. So he says, api chedasi papebhyaha sarvebhya papakritama. So don't look at the past. Right now, you can kindle the awareness. In fact, tradition in our culture, we don't accept anybody as a papi. We don't see anyone as a papi. To say that I am a papi itself is because of ignorance. Because Atma is neither a sinner nor a saint. It is just what it is. A crystal is colorless. If you keep it on a green cloth, it appears green. If you keep it on a blue cloth, it appears blue. Crystal per se is colorless. Similarly, Atma in each one of us is always pavitra. It is not committing any sin. It is out of ignorance of Atma, I assume an individuality, and to protect my individuality, I go to the extent of destroying, committing so many sins. So the sin has come because of kartritva. See, in Christianity, what they call is original sin. Adam and Eve were both said to have been naked. And it is said that there is this apple, which is the knowledge, fruit of knowledge. If you eat that, you will be committing sin. What does it mean by saying, if you eat that fruit, apple, which is knowledge, you will be committing sin?
Awareness of each other as
not innocent. The knowledge, children, they were innocent. Are you with me? They were not seeing themselves as man or a woman. That ego wasn't there. Like in the child. Innocent. As innocent as a child. But the moment that knowledge strikes them, that I am an individual, I am a man, I am a woman, the bhav, ego is nothing but the bhav. The moment that bhav comes, then you start committing sin. You understand? So the whole thing is, from the time we are born, so many ways in which we are conditioned. You take a person into a state of hypnosis and you hypnotize him, a man, to be a woman. Supposing he is hypnotized to think that he is a woman, and when he walks, when he talks, when he does anything, he'll start doing it as a woman. This is the thing. So exactly like that, we have been conditioned. Oh, you put on weight. Oh, you lost weight. Oh, your hair has turned grey. Oh, you started becoming this. You started becoming that. The more and more conditioning has been happening ever since we are born. Not to talk about before. You understand? All this hypnosis put together. Now I am having a power that I am separate, and I need to protect this separateness. And due to that, I am doing so many activities which are gathering more and more dust in me. So therefore, the moment the knowledge strikes, you start questioning this. Nobody wants to question this. You understand? The moment you start questioning, moment you stop and pause and start questioning and go to the root of it, then you find that the very ego itself doesn't exist. It's a fiction. We are putting in so much effort to protect something which doesn't exist. That is the foolishness. But the moment you started believing that it is there, you understand? Like a patient who suffers from something, he thinks that he is having that disease. And he goes to the doctor. Doctor diagnoses and sees that he doesn't have the disease. Are you with me? But he says, no, I am having the disease. This fellow is not able to diagnose. And he goes on to so many doctors, so many tests. Still deeply he thinks disease is there. The moment he realizes, one day whenever he realizes that the disease was not existing, then he knows how foolish it was for him to have been trying to protect and save which was not existing on him. Nobody ever dares to question this ego. You understand? What is in your son, what is in your daughter is yours. What in every action that you say, I did, is yours. You understand? If you deeply question the ego, you will go to the root of it, then you will find that ego itself is a fiction. It doesn't exist. So that is what he is saying. Jnana will hit the root. Information will not hit the root. You understand? He is talking about jnanam here. Jnanam here in the context means awareness. The moment you start doing things with awareness, you will slowly see that you are not building any pap or punya. Everything goes on dissolving. So therefore, even if you are the most sinful of all sinners, you shall verily cross over all the sin by the raft of knowledge. Because sin in itself does not have density. Darkness does not have density. The moment you light a matchstick, darkness is gone. It's finished. It's not there anymore. You are thinking it is being there for so many days. You just have to get into the awareness, the mode of awareness. So till today you have been functioning, doing things without awareness. Now start doing things with awareness. Meaning, stop doing things mindlessly. Now start doing things mindfully. In the third chapter, which we have seen already, verse number 7, this is exactly what he said. In 6 and 7, if you recollect, in 6, what did he say in chapter 3? He said, Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasasmaran indriyatam vimudatma mityacharasa uchyate. Controlling the organs of action, but mentally brooding over the sense world. He is a hypocrite. In 7 he gave the solution for it. What did he say? Yas indriyani manasa niyamyaravate arjuna. Yas indriyani manasa, by the mind, mindfully contact the senses. Now mindlessly you are wandering in the sense world, but forcibly controlling your organs of action, this is foolish. You are creating karmic cycle for yourself. So what he says is, now mindfully manasa, yes, indriyani manasa niyamyaravate arjuna, control your sense contacts mindfully. Let your sense contacts be done mindfully. You understand? Niyamyaravate arjuna, karma indriye karma yoga asakta sa visheshyate. You have to involve your organs of action in karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Karma yoga is acting without the doership. That is karma yoga. Doing as a spoke in the wheel of life. Thus, if you do your actions with awareness, that knowledge will remove the ignorance, and the ignorance, once it's removed, the kartritva is removed, thereafter there is no papa. So therefore it is not really, it doesn't really matter what action you do, but you do that action with awareness or not, that is the question. So that is what, this is a very very revolutionary thinking. You understand? This is not an easy thought that Lord Krishna is trying to give you. That is why he says, there is no need for you to run away from the action of war field, battlefield. You can very much be engaged in the battlefield, but do it with awareness. Don't do it as a karta. If you do the action of teaching Bhagavad Gita as a karta, you will be burdening yourself with a lot of punyas, which will bind you back to this world. Whereas you can do the action of even fighting on the battlefield, but do it without the bhav that I am the doer, then there you won't be incurring any sin. You will be liberating yourself. So it is not really the action. Foolish people out of ignorance think that this action is sinful, this action is punya activity. Therefore what do? They go on shifting from pap to punya. But what happens to them? They are still continuing in the state of unawareness. They never attain moksha. This is the fundamental truth that we need to understand, which the Lord is trying to explain to us. He is trying to tell us, shift your focus from action to the actor. Question that very root, the kartritva. The moment you question the very root kartritva, then you will find that it doesn't exist. Atma is never the doer. This doership itself is a fiction. When the moment that has been striked, when that has been taken out of the equation, thereafter there is no question of pap or punya. Now understand these verses carefully, because these verses, if you misunderstand, if you don't understand correctly, then you will say, I can do anything I want. This is not what Krishna is saying, because a lot of, you know, people understand these things according to their convenience. The thing, this is a big danger. That is why they said, don't allow the person if he is not qualified. First and foremost, purify. You know, I told you this verse 34 is a very very important and fascinating verse 34, which we saw just now. When you go to a guru, first of all, after surrendering, he will not straight away introduce you to knowledge. Traditionally. That's why I gave you the example of Ramakrishna Mission also. I think we discussed that example, right? You go to Ramakrishna Mission, I'm told they have an ashram near, it is a place, Almoda, right? They have an ashram there where sannyasis are only allowed to stay. I'm told like that. And that is where they teach the Upanishads and all the knowledge is given there. When you go and join Ramakrishna Mission anyway, you are made to do a lot of karma yoga. they have so many you know, trusts and activities, blood donation camp, eye camp, this camp, that camp, hospitals, either, other. So many things they make you do. The reason is knowledge in the wrong hands is detrimental to himself and to the world. Shishya, who is a true Shishya, only knows that he doesn't know and he should know, but he doesn't know whether he is ready yet. Therefore, he will wait for the Guru's signal to say that you are ready. Till then, he continued to serve. Whereas a fake Shishya, who is not a true Shishya, he will say, I am ready right now, why the Guru is not giving me the knowledge? You understand? So he doesn't say, give me the knowledge. Because he knows the fact that the Guru has not started giving me knowledge means I am not yet ready. You must strike the iron when it is hot. Guru is waiting for the iron to become hot. In Zen Buddhism, this story comes where one fellow goes to the Guru and says, please give me knowledge, please give me knowledge. At that time, the Zen master was pouring tea into a cup and the tea is overflowing, right? And he is continuously pouring. So this man is going on asking, please give me knowledge, please give me knowledge. And also, can't you see that the tea is overflowing? He says, I am seeing, you are not seeing. You empty your cup and come, I will give you knowledge. That is the message I am trying to give you here. You understand? Empty thyself, I shall fill thee. So we are all so very anxious to know, but we never question whether we are really qualified to know. You understand? Like Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What have we done to make our hearts pure? It is the seva bhav. The moment we continuously serve and serve and serve, the inside becomes pure, purer, purer, purer. Then the knowledge, the moment the Guru gives, it catches. You understand? So therefore, when he says, knowledge will remove all the sin, we need to qualify through various activities to purify ourselves so that when knowledge strikes us, immediately it fructifies. So you take various activities not to get involved in that activity. When yajna we conduct here, everybody cannot be given the same job, right? Each one is given different jobs. So some say, no, you always think about that person greatly, so you give this job to him, you give me all the menial job only. Nothing like that. It really doesn't matter what job is given to you. You can use that job to purify yourself, or you can use that job to further be in a state of unawareness. It is not the action. It is not what you do. It is how you do it. So therefore, there is no such thing as sin. You understand? So that is why Krishna is saying, do this action of killing on the battlefield, but do it without kartrutva. But deeply we are so much conditioned that certain actions are sinful, certain actions are not. In the Karma Yoga portion which Vivekanandaji discusses, the example he gives for a Karma Yogi is of a butcher. You understand? Firstly, we are not purified within. We can't accept a butcher as a Karma Yogi. Or due to our impurity, we will start butchering and justifying it. You understand? When Hitler turned a butcher, it was not that he was practicing Karma Yoga. But the butcher example that Vivekananda gives, that butcher was a Kshatriya. Are you with me? Similarly, so many of us do so many actions apparently which is good action. But we are not in Karma Yoga, we are not engaged in Karma Yoga. The doership is there that I am doing. We don't understand that things are being done through us. You understand? This is what Krishna tells Arjuna. What are you saying? I am not going to kill them, I am not going to kill them. They have already killed me. Just be an instrument in the hands of totality. So therefore, you must first become pure, then gain the knowledge. Otherwise, all these verses can be misunderstood and misused. Then you will say, doesn't matter what I do, I can do whatever I want to do. Somebody says something to you, it bothers you so much. Then what it means is, you are not pure from inside. So you could not have said something what you said to anybody else. The fact that somebody else saying something is bothering me. I am not still pure. Therefore, it's a clue to me that I can't say anything I want I can do and say that there is no pap, no punya. If you really said something to others which was without ego, then when somebody said something to you, that would not hurt you as well. As long as things hurt you, then you better be careful as to what you say to others and what you do to others. So don't misunderstand these kind of verses. There will be few verses like this in the Bhagavad Gita. A lot of us misunderstand and then criticize Krishna for it. Or we say Krishna is really great. He has opened my eyes. Now I can do whatever I want. All this while I have been doing things with so much of guilt. Now I will go berserk. You understand? There is a very fine line that separates. Always better be on the safer zone. Right? Now try to do good actions without doership. Focus in gaining the knowledge. Focus in going within. Don't straight away try to start doing things the other way around. In the dharmic activities, try to do actions with awareness. That which has been accepted for you to do, do them. In them, try to do without you. Slight misunderstanding can destroy. Next verse. Yadai dhamsi samiddognihi, yadai dhamsi samiddognihi, basmasat kuru tejuna, basmasat kuru tejuna, jnanat nisarva karmani, jnanat nisarva karmani, basmasat kuru tetata, basmasat kuru tetata, yadai dhamsi samiddognihi, basmasat kuru tejuna, jnanat nisarva karmani, basmasat kuru tetata. As blazing fire reduces fuel to ashes, Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge reduce all action to ashes. See, action will be reduced to ashes by knowledge, not directly, but indirectly. I'll give you an example. You are plunged in darkness, as a result of which you are having fear, bhaya. Light removes fear. How does light remove fear? Does light remove fear directly? It removes darkness. Once the darkness is removed, fear is gone. You understand? As long as the darkness continues to exist, you will still suffer from fear. So when he says, as blazing fire reduces fuel to ashes, it removes all karma. How does it remove? It removes all karma by removing the ignorance. The moment ignorance is removed, the offshoot of ignorance, the kartrutva, is removed. When the kartrutva is removed, kama, krodha, lobha, moga, bhaya, matsarya, all are gone. Madha, matsarya, bhaya, everything is gone. The karma is destroyed by destroying the karmi. The kartrutva, the bhav is the problem. Once the bhav is removed, the offshoot that came as a result of that bhav is also removed. So that is what he is saying. So in the previous verse he said, like boat, when you are traveling in the boat, you are, the travel also is nice, and ultimately the boat takes you to the destiny. Similarly, fire burns the fuel to ashes. While you are living in this world, that fire of knowledge gives you clarity to live happily and ultimately destroys the vasanas, the fuel. Interestingly, fuel and fire is there in the wood itself. Wood is the fuel. You rub the wood, fire comes from within. And when the fire comes from within, it burns the fuel, the wood, to ashes. And therefore, we think we need to get the fire from outside. No need. Fire is from within. You need to churn your personality. By churning your personality, the fire from inside comes and burns the fuel to ashes. The problem is, we will not churn. As long as you don't churn, the wood remains solid, no question of it getting burnt into ashes. So these classes, the study, all these things are churning. You have to continuously churn at home. When you continuously churn using this as a churner, you understand? Then from inside the awareness starts coming. Once the awareness starts coming, the fuel starts getting burnt. It is impossible to directly fight with karma. You need to remove the karta. Am I the karta? Am I really doing? If I am the one who is doing, then when I am sleeping, how is the breathing going? You understand? I am sleeping, but the breathing is going. If you were the one who is doing, who is doing breathing when you were not there? You will be scared to death. You will stop going to sleep only. You will say, if I go to sleep, then I will not be. Remember, nature is manifesting itself. Every time I say, I am doing it, nature is laughing at us. You have not done anything. You say, I gave birth to my child. You did not give birth to your child. The desires made you to give birth to your child. Nature, please understand this. Nature. So, knowledge attacks. The moment knowledge attacks the eye, that is why you go to a guru, he attacks the eye. If you are not a true Shishya, you will choose a guru who is, what do you call, fanning the ego. If you ever find a true guru, he is going to keep you exactly where it pains. If you are really interested in growth, you would find a true guru. If you are not, then you would find somebody who would fan your ego, who will flatter you, who helps your ego to swell further. You understand? And it appears as if he is keeping you in good humor, but actually he is detrimental to you. For somebody who is extremely rich, when there is something like what happened in Uttarakhand, the easiest thing for you to do, not many don't do, even some people who do, is to write a check. You understand? When you go to a guru, he is going to tell you to do something where your ego hurts. Supposing he tells you, go and clean the toilets in the ashram. You have millions of people doing work for you at home, in the office. When you go to a true guru, he is going to tell you where exactly it hurts. You understand what I am saying? Because I told you that story, right? Of a, I think we spoke about that story. A king wanted to know.
The gatekeeper one.
What is that story? She remembers that story. Let me see how many of you remember. What did the king wanted to know?
The most.
The king wanted to know where is God. The king wanted to know where is God. So he asked the wise men in the court, please tell me where is God. And he said, he didn't get any reply from them. And he said, if you don't have a reply, don't come tomorrow. So next day morning, nobody came. So the gatekeeper started laughing. He said, Maharaj, nobody has come. Obviously because they didn't know the answer. They don't know where the God is, where God resides, where is God. So therefore they have not come. So he told the king, if you are really sincere, Maharaj, I can tell you where God is. The gatekeeper, the doorkeeper. The king got so wild. You are a gatekeeper. You are telling me that you will tell me where God is. How dare you talk to me? He said, it looks like you are not sincere. You understand? The conviction with which he said, he straight looked at king's eyes and said, it looks like you are not sincere. You are sincere? Right now I can tell you where is God. Are you sincere? He said, come in. The king said, come in. And the king was sitting on the throne. And he said, now tell me, where is God? Again the gatekeeper looked at the king's eyes and said, you want to know about where is God from me? Then you are the Shishya, I am the Guru. And you are asking this question sitting from the throne and expecting me to answer standing down. Get out of the throne. Come down and stand here. If you are really sincere, I will go and sit there. Again with the conviction, the king was really rattled. He came down because he sincerely wanted to know. You understand? The gatekeeper went and sat there. And he said, you want to know, touch my feet with your head. You understand? This is really too much. You are going beyond your level. He said, you are not sincere. He bent down, kept his forehead on the gatekeeper's feet. And he continued like that. After a while, the gatekeeper said, now it's enough. Rise. He said, I'm not going to. Because I don't have the question anymore, I've got the answer. The moment I bent down, I dissolved my ego, God started making its presence known from within. The real problem is ego. Tadvidhi pranipatena parimprasnena seve. You understand? Yesterday was the Guru Purnima, Vyasa Purnima. The day Sage Vyasa is said to have been taken this janam here in this world is celebrated as Guru Purnima. The day that we offer our prayers to the entire Guru Parampara. Because without whom we would not be having this knowledge, without whose compassion, even though they realized themselves, they made sure that this tradition continues, and because of whom we have this
knowledge. So any true guru will only strike your ego. He is not going to keep you comfortable. That is why somebody says, I wrote a letter to Swamiji, I was a very happy man until I met you. It's a fact. You understand? The moment you meet with the right guru, he's going to make your life very difficult. Unless and until a revolution happens within, there's not going to be a solution that is coming out of it. A comfortable going on, chalo. You understand? The guru comes and hits exactly there. It's very painful. Then what do? You say, oh, this fellow is useless. Then you go to the fake fellow, then you are very happy. A lot of us go to the gurus and we say, oh, this guru is fake. See all that he is doing. Because you are not true. You understand? You are judging him. He will go on doing things in spite of all this nonsense. You understand? You will not judge him. You will continue. It's very, very difficult. The various ways in which guru tests you. It's not easy. It's not easy to be really in the presence of a true guru. It is extremely easy to be in the presence of a fake guru. One fellow supposed to have gone to a guru. He was a very rich man. And he surrendered to the guru and said, please accept me as my as your sishya. He said, okay, I accept. He said, tomorrow we are having some talk. So this side, get the stage and everything ready, made, you know, here. So that tomorrow I'll sit here and talk. And when he comes there, he says, you made the stage here? I told you to make it there. He knew very well that he told me to make it here. And now this man is saying, he did not tell me to make it here. He said, you did not follow my instruction correctly. I asked you to make the stage there. Go and make it there. Then he goes and makes it there. Then he says, I did not ask you to make it there. I asked you to make it here. When such a thing will happen to you, what will you start thinking? This guy is a gone case. You understand? You will immediately judge him. This guy is a gone case. And he was about to leave. Guru's wife said, Are, he's just testing you. Don't leave so soon. You've arrived at the right place. You understand? So the idea is to melt your ego. The moment the ego melts, knowledge comes from within. Knowledge cannot be gained from outside at all. That is why, strictly speaking, one verse of the Gita is enough. One word from the Master is enough if you are ready. If you are not ready, even million verses are not enough. You can wake up a person who is genuinely sleeping. You cannot wake up a person who is pretending to be sleeping. Try.
That is so true.
You understand? He is pretending. You cannot wake him up. If you are really, really thirsty, you understand? The guru says, grab it. You grab it. Otherwise, you are not really thirsty, not really hungry. The child is not really hungry. So it says, why is it this color? Why it is not in this color? Last time when you made it, it was different color. Now why didn't you put that color? It is not hungry. You understand? If the child is hungry, simply plunge. So the guru knows. When I go to a guru, go on questioning, guru will not straight away answer your question. So you think this fellow doesn't know. You leave. You continue. The more you are ready, there's a verse in the chapter 13. It says, some people know that through karma yoga, some people through meditation, some people through bhakti yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, all that, meditation. Some, just by hearing from the guru, they reach their ages. It's a very, very deep verse which he gives in 13th chapter. Just by hearing,
just by hearing how he was transported, because he was so much ready.
You understand? That is why gurus don't want to waste their time. Because when you are not ready, even millions of chapters, nothing will happen.
But the moment you are ready, even a word, a sound, just being closer to the guru, it's enough.
Just as blazing fire reduces fuel to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge reduces all action to ashes. So in other words, we need not worry about action. We need to develop awareness in us. With that knowledge, when we do the action, the vasanas gets destroyed. When the vasanas destroy, the ignorance destroys, kartritva is destroyed, the samsaric cycle is destroyed. Next verse.
Nahi jnanena sadrisham, nahi jnanena sadrisham, pavitramiha vidyate, pavitramiha vidyate, tatsvayam yoga samsiddha, tatsvayam yoga samsiddha, kalenatmani vindate, kalenatmani vindate, nahi jnanena sadrisham, pavitramiha vidyate, tatsvayam yoga samsiddha, kalenatmani vindate.
Verily, there is no purifier like here, like knowledge. Here means in the world. Verily, there is no purifier here like knowledge. He who is perfected in yoga finds it in the self in time, erlong. Kalena, in time, due course. In fact, he who is involved in yoga is not bothered about time going away. Who is not really interested in yoga, he is worried about time going away. Because, see, please understand this. That's what I'm saying. To a person who is qualified, he thinks he is not qualified. A person who is not at all qualified, he thinks very much qualified. So, kalena, when he says kalena, oh, along, he's not bothered. He continues. He's not really concerned about when it is happening. In fact, a person who's not concerned about when it is going to happen, it happens. The person who's very much concerned, very much forcing it, it never happens. If you are very much concerned about going to sleep, you never go to sleep. I must go to sleep. You understand? You start preparing from morning only. As soon as you wake up, you start getting your room ready. Go to sleep. You never go to sleep. You understand? A child doesn't know when it went to sleep. Just falls asleep. Kalina. So verily, there is no purifier. The real purifier is awareness, is knowledge, is Atma Jnana. All we do is, we go and do so many things, trying to purify ourselves, thinking that sort of actions will purify. Those sort of actions cannot purify unless you get into striking that awareness from within. How much effort are we putting in for that? So many people, it's not that he is criticizing the padayatras and all that, mindlessly doing things. You understand? Mindlessly you are traveling in the sense world. Now mindlessly you are traveling in the so called scriptural world. Whether you travel in the scriptural world from ashram to ashram or from discotheques to discotheques, if you are traveling mindlessly, you are not going to be becoming free. The purifier is knowledge. Here in this world, what purifies you is knowledge. Who is perfected in yoga finds it in the self in time. So therefore, it is the question of perfecting yourself, unifying yourself with that knowledge. You understand? How one you become with it. That is what is important. How long? The moment
you touch the feet of the Guru, you have become non-existent. River cannot know the ocean unless it becomes non-existent. It's impossible. You understand? River trying to keep its identity alive can never gain the status of an ocean, can never become the ocean. You should be ready to die. That is what he is saying here. He who is perfected in yoga, who is perfected in yoga means whose ego has been dissolved, finds it in the self. He doesn't find it outside. He immediately finds it within. Today we are searching for happiness everywhere, perfection everywhere, not within. Ego would try to deceive you in all possible ways to keep itself alive. Ego is a great deceptive, ego has a great deceptive mechanism. It will say, go to that guru, surrender, ask question, you are struggling, you are on the right path. But it will make you keep on searching for the truth outside, because you will never find. But it will say, you are putting in so much of effort, very good, you are doing this every day morning, you are writing this, fantastic, fantastic, go on. You understand? Actually what it is doing is, intelligently found a mechanism to keep itself surviving. You understand? This is what it does. So, verily there is no purifier here in this world like knowledge. The moment you are connected to the knowledge, all papas are gone. Why? Because you understood that the one who considered himself to be committing pap was itself non-existent. How can a non-existent person commit sin? Do you understand? Why does knowledge purify? See, how come when you wake up, you suddenly, entire dream is dissolved, because you know that the entire dream was a fake. The very dreamer is dissolved. Very dreamer was a fake, isn't it? The moment you wake up. So similarly, the moment knowledge strikes, you know that person who thought himself to be committing sin, that very person who was a sinner did not exist. That itself was a fiction. There is a huge tree next to your house. And there was a power cut at home, and your generator was also not working. And you could not sleep because you were really sweating a lot. So you said, let me go upstairs and lie, sleep in the on my terrace. And you were sleeping there. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, you woke up. And for a moment, you forgot that there's a huge tree next to your house. You understand? And that tree is shaking its head. And in the night time, you thought it is a huge giant. As a result of which you started getting stressed. As a result of which you started sweating. All that was happening. Then slowly you opened your eyes fully and saw it. Then you saw it as tree. Good fellow. You can't even share the story with anybody. You think, my God, how foolish I have been. The moment you saw the tree, what happened? The ghost which was there standing, frightening you, pushed you to sweat, is not there. How can something which is not there continue to cause you stress? As long as the ghosts continue to exist in different ways, you will be going through stress. But the moment that ghost itself is removed, what is this? That itself is a fiction, stupidity. You understand?
thereafter there is no question of fear, greed, nothing. So that is what he is saying. What purifies is seeing things as they are. Knowledge makes you see things as they are. The moment you see things as they are, there is no more problem. So you got to perfect yourself in yoga. Don't worry about seeing. If you have still not seen, it means what? What does it mean? It means I'm still not purified. So I continue my sadhana. I start doing my yoga. Hatha yoga, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, meditation. I continue my sadhana. Because this is the proof. The moment I am purified, it catches. It's still not caught. That means I am not yet ready. So what do I have to do? Continue my sadhana. So our problem is, that's only people. Very, very interesting. Some people say, sir, we should start this book. I say, okay. Is that it is? Bhagavad Gita, whatever. Then, first question they ask is, how long do you think we'll finish this? How long do you think it'll take? Now, what can I tell them? If you want, we can finish it right now also. Right? The thing is, the idea is not to finish the book. The idea is to realize that one who wants to finish the book never exists. That is the idea of reading the book. You understand? But there is no point telling him then. Slowly after going through a few chapters, they will stop asking these questions. They will thereafter not be bothered. How long? That is why Krishna says, Kalena, in time. Because you just continue to be in the struggle. Continue to purify yourself. When you are ready, you will catch. If you are not ready, continue suffering. So therefore, you need not worry about when it is going to happen. If you are somebody who deserves, nobody can stop you from getting it. If you are somebody who doesn't deserve it, nobody can make you give it. There is no need. There were two sannyasis meditating in Himalayas. Sage A, Sage B. Narad Muni, one of his visits from heaven, he had gone through the world and he was going back to heaven. So, to Lord Narayana's abode. So while he was going, he wanted to, just ask them. Then they saw Narad Muni, they prostrated to him and said, okay, I'm going to, Vaikunth. And then I'll be coming back after a while. So, while I'm there, would you want to know anything from Lord Narayana, which I can pass it on to you when I come back? So both of them said, please find out how long we still have to continue doing meditation to realize the self. You understand? How many more janmas? So he said, no problem. So he went and found out from Lord Narayana. And Lord Narayana said, Sage A is realizing in this janma. Sage B, after about 100 janmas. You understand? Something like that. So Narad Muni, when he came down, he's a prankster. So he didn't want to say things as it is. So he just wanted to play. So he told Sage A, you see, there is this neem, tamarind tree. If you can count all the leaves on the tree, as many janmas you have. Actually, this fellow is realizing immediately. So he told him, that many janmas you have. So, that Sage A, the fact that he is realizing in that janma means he is such a pure soul. So he said, thank you Lord, at least now my janmas have come to a countable number. So I will continue my sadhana. This other fellow is not really interested and is not yet ready. So he went and told him, this janma you are realizing.
This Janma I'm realizing. If I'm realizing in this Janma, then I've not been to Alps. Then I've not been to this place, that place. So quickly he started going, running, let me finish off all these things, so that because if I'm realized, then there is no way I'm going to come back. You understand? Therefore, what this thing is saying is, knowledge will liberate you. And if you want to gain knowledge, you have to be in yoga. If you have to be in yoga, continue doing your sadhana. When you continue doing your sadhana, if it has not happened, it means you don't deserve. If it has happened, and don't ask me, how will I know when it happens? It amounts to asking like, when I wake up, would I know that I have woken up? Having woken up, if you are going and asking somebody, excuse me, do you think I have woken up? You know where they will put you, right? Immediately they will be so scared, my God, I have been living with this fellow for so long. So when it happens, you don't need anybody to tell you it has happened.
पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति